He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Now joined by the voice of the Chiefs, it is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Let's go to the man, the myth, the legend himself. Mitch Holthus joins Festo and Dusty. Mitch, happy Red Friday. And gosh, I know you're already there as well. As I try to calm myself down every week, please tell me I don't need to.
Oh, no, man. It's the hair's on fire. Another festive weekend in the Chiefs Kingdom. I love the fact that you played the run to immortality, though, from Super Bowl 54, and here's why. Last night, I was with the Butler Community College Grizzlies in El Dorado, Kansas, 6 times national champion, and the guy that makes the key block on that play to make it a touchdown, not just a first down, was Byron Pringle. You remember Byron, kind of a scrappy dog, played at K-State, but he was at Butler Community College before that. And I told their team last night about that block, and it'll be one of the more forgotten plays in Chiefs history. But if you go back and watch the Damian Williams run to immortality, you will see Pringle blow the corner of San Francisco like into the fourth row. It was one of the best downfield blocks by a wide receiver I've ever seen. And so, hey, raising the glass to the Butler Community College Grizzlies, and also all of the Jayhawk JUCO teams and all of our good junior college programs in the Chiefs Kingdom. Iowa Central, Iowa Western, Ellsworth, NEO, and Miami, Oklahoma. But it was, I'm glad you played that clip. It brought last night back.
You know, you got to put some respect on Coffeyville, Mitch. I don't know why you're not talking about the Coffeyville, fighting Coffeyvillians.
God City, Garden City, who else do you want? The Highland Scotty Dogs?
I mean,
list them all,
the realm of Coffeyville alum in the NFL is pretty strong, starting with our own Ryan Lilje. You got Mel Gray that played out there, Leonard Little. I mean, that's a football factory down in Coffeyville.
Well, and you get same with Butler. If you go to Hutch, you'll see the same thing. I bring it up anytime there's a Jayhawk JUCO player in the game that I'm doing, whether it's with the Chiefs or with the opposing team or of the other Kingdom community college football programs. I don't know if people realize it's some of the best. You know, MIAA is the SEC, I think, of Division II
no
football.
Doubt.
But you've also got the Jayhawk JUCO and those Iowa JUCOs that are some of the best in the country. The Jayhawk JUCO is arguably the best community college football conference in the nation, and it's right here under our nose.
Yeah, and don't sleep on Nebraska Kearney. My guy Ryan Held up there leading that program back to prominence. He'll be taking over a big program before it's over. So Nebraska Kearney's coming in the MIAA as well. Let's go.
The Lopers.
Yes.
They're the Lopers, man. And, you know, Smith Center, you've been there. We got to get Dusty there to Pooches. Smith Center is equidistant between Fort Hays State and Nebraska Kearney.
Yeah, it's a melting
literally
pot.
Right, yep.
It's a melting
right there,
pot,
man.
For the, like the rivalry when those two schools play in Smith Center, they divide the town in half. Pooches is split in half between Fort Hays State and Kearney.
Army Navy of the MIAA and Smith Center when the Lopers play the Tigers of Fort Hays State.
Yeah, let's go. Mitch Holthus with us here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, I love your teases when you text me about what we're going to talk about. You say there are pages full of guys who, and like 85 question marks. What are they full of?
Who flashed in week one of the NFL of their careers and then disappeared. And the reason I say that, it's because of Xavier Worthy's incredible week last week with the 3 touches and the 2 touchdowns. I'm going to drive people back to our Defending the Kingdom. I do it every week, primarily every week, almost every week, with Matt McMullen. And we had Xavier with us. And one of the topics of discussion that I've had all week, or with Patrick Mahomes on the Kingdom Show, or with Coach Reed, is the week one to week two challenge. Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs are getting way more from him than the 4-2-1 40 time at the combine. This dude is tough, instinctive, and what I really love about him, Bob, is he's self-aware of the whole week one, week two thing. there literally are spreadsheets full of dudes who flash for a week in the NFL, even the first week, never to be heard from again. The challenge for Xavier and the other three rookies that play on offense, when you look at Wiley and Steele and Suamaitia in specific, we'll get to him, or Hicks on the defensive side, is you think, okay, I can do this. I have it figured out, only to get hit upside the head in week two. That's one of the bigger challenges the Chiefs face, are the young guys being better this week than they were last week.
Well, I mean, I would think with this organization and the leadership that they have, like, you're not going to see Xavier Worthy, at least it's under my impression anyway, go, I've arrived and here I am. Like, I would imagine he uses that. That was a nice start, and they kind of keep him humble, right?
They do, and he's kind of that way anyway. He reminds me of the 2022 draft class, which I brag about all the time, for being emotionally and mentally mature, not just physically mature. But the fact that Xavier, first of all, he was aware. One of the first conversations I had with him after we drafted him was he brought up DeSean Jackson and Tyreek Hill and Coach Reed, meaning he goes, I know how Coach Reed made those guys' careers. And he goes, and he said it even the after the other night, he goes, I could see the way Coach wants to use me, get me the ball, or utilize me as a decoy so that I can flourish. And that's rare for a guy of his age. So there's more to him, a Fresno, California toughness and an awareness to Xavier Worthy that gets me as excited as his physical skills.
Mitch, when you look at this game against Cincinnati, I know last week it was Baltimore. We get their division foe this week. What changes from week one to week two with the maybe the way this team rolls against a team like Cincinnati, who's clearly different than what Baltimore has?
Yeah, man, that was a mysterious game against New England. And Dusty, what got me about that game is they took no vertical shots. There was one. They got a DPI on New England. I shouldn't say no. I should say very few. The routes to, I think Chase had six catches, was the fact that it was all underneath. It was pivots and crosses, and I just have the feeling that the Bengals are going to take some vertical shots this week. Then defensively, for them not to command the line of scrimmage. When New England wanted to, basically New England took the air out of the ball at the end of the game and made some key plays. But Hendrickson and Hubbard are animals. Hendrickson's a stud, 17 and a half sacks, only T.J. Watt better last year. But there's just some – they lost some dudes too, Cincinnati, and they've gone through some adjustments. I talk about week one to week two. They're desperate in week two because your nugget of the morning is if they lose this game, and Zach Taylor, who ironically was the quarterback at Butler Community College, but they won a national championship before he went to Nebraska – if Zach loses this game, the off-quoted stat is he'll be 1-11 in his first 2 weeks of a season over a six-season span.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that will be the worst in 55 years in the National Football League.
Holy cow!
So that tells you that it is a desperate Bengal team that will be here Sunday.
Wow. Talking with Mitch Holtis here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can catch the Chiefs right here on their new home, 96.5 The Fan. Beginning at yesterday, the pregame shows. Kling and Dannon are talking somewhere about the pregame show. They're already getting started for this one on Sunday. Who are you most excited to see kind of take that next step this week, Mitch?
Well, it's a big challenge for Kingsley Suamaitia, but I'm going to tell you who I'm excited about. And I don't think they get enough attention, and I wish I would have talked about him more after training camp. But on the defensive side, Leo Chenal and Turk Wharton, they had phenomenal training camps. And even Leo was up there before anybody else was up there. He was there with the rookies because he was in the, quote, injured rehab after his injuries in the postseason last year. And Leo got rep after rep after rep, even as the Mike Backer green dot guy. And so it was invaluable for him. But I saw him take the next step and a half forward. And the same with Turk Wharton. And they showed up the other day. I'm excited to see them do it again. And the other one is Felix Anyedike Uzomah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a buzz in the defensive hallway this week about what Felix was able to do on a consistent basis. Spags talked about him being out there on a rocket screen. Which the Chiefs right now might be the best team in football on defending those rocket-type sweep or the rocket screen passes. And the fact that Felix's motor and his quickness showed up last week in that game. But you take him, Chenault, and Turk Wharton, and those three guys in specific who are under the radar, I'm most excited about to see if they can back it up this week, as well as the guys like Xavier Worthy.
I think it's a big game for an individual that knows how to show up in big games, and I'm sure you, I don't know if you have it in your back pocket, but I look at this game with Ja'Marr Chase, who is obviously very, he's very talkative, and, you know, so be it. You got to have some hate in sports to continue this love for this game that we watch called football. But I'm really excited to watch and see what Trent McDuffie can continue to do against Ja'Marr Chase. And I know last year in that game on December 31st, when Ja'Marr Chase lined up against Trent McDuffie, he wasn't very successful. Now, there is no L'Jarius Sneed, but we moved on beyond that. I look at this matchup, Mitch, and I get really excited to watch McDuffie, who's entering his prime in the NFL as one of the top corners in the sport, going up against one of the top receivers in the sport who's doing a lot of talking. But we'll see what the feet and the arms and the legs do against Trent McDuffie this Sunday.
Do you hear Trent McDuffie doing any chatter, any needless chatter?
No, he does it with his gameplay.
No, thank you. And that fourth and two play, guys, you go back and watch that video. That's an exceptional play by him. And right now, I would tell you one of the biggest differences in between the Chiefs and the Bengals, and Dusty, I'm glad you brought this up, because are the corners' ability and willingness to tackle on the perimeter. It was a big reason the Bengals lost last week. And I know Taylor Britt, Nebraska Cornhusker, he also was a little bit yickety-yack this week, too, right?
Yep.
Talking about, was it, he's talking about Worthy? Like, I guess he's a fast guy.
Right. Yeah, all he has is speed, is what he said. Yeah.
And he can run in a straight line.
I don't know what Ramondre Stevenson has of the New England Patriots, but he was running over Taylor Britt, who wasn't really anxious to tackle him.
Right.
Now, Trent McDuffie's not that guy. Because we think of corners of coverage, and yes, that's where it starts. And they're the fighter pilots of the NFL, because they're in dogfights one-on-one on the perimeter. But the corners who can tackle and tackle one-on-one, just like McDuffie has done time and again in big circumstances, and that fourth and two stop he had was huge. And so it's not just covering Chase. It's all of the other stuff that McDuffie does to help this team win. And it's no mystery that he's a first-team All-Pro corner and that the rest of the league recognizes it.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up, because some of the stuff that I've been hearing kind of behind the scenes about him, like the, you know, it sounds so like elementary, but like the extra study time that this guy is putting in to be the best this year, people are like it's turning heads from what I understand inside that facility of what Trent McDuffie is doing off the field to make sure that he is the best on the field.
Many discussions we have, Bob, about how Patrick will be like-minded with Coach. Right, Coach thinks of something, or Pat thinks of something Coach was going to think of, or vice versa. That's going on defense, too, and a lot of it has to deal with McDuffie. McDuffie's like a corner who's also a defensive coordinator. He is so smart and so tough, along with being skilled, that's what I think separates him. And his toughness and his ability to be, he is the best blitzing defensive back I think I've ever seen. You know, he's on the verge of setting NFL records for corners as a blitzer.
Wow.
He's still waiting for the first interception. He's on that cusp, and he's just in his third year. But he rushes the quarterback in such an intelligent way. He does it like a Von Miller or a Bosa or a Chris Jones. From his target points, his path to the quarterback, his speed to be relentless but not out of control, he rarely misses a tackle or a blitz opportunity. And it's things that we take for granted with Trent McDuffie, because all we want to look at is like, he didn't have an interception yet. Well, he's going to get one, and when he gets one, he's going to get a whole bunch of them. But until that happens, he's going to do a lot of other things that will help the Chiefs win on the defensive side.
Mitch, we do a segment here called In the Script, and I know you don't necessarily have a script for your game, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like when Xavier Worthy takes an over the top on Cameron Britt in this game to put the Chiefs up, I don't know, 34-3 maybe? I don't know, maybe just something that might be coming out of the lovely sounds of your voice when that happens?
If that happens, you're going to have Roman candles going off inside of the Eagleville, Missouri fireworks stand.
I like it.
Eagleville, it's goes
coming.
With.
It's coming.
Do you, Mitch? I'm sorry to cut you off.
You guys have all been there.
Oh yeah,
you guys have all been there. Oh yeah, that's where I do my Christmas shopping.
That's where that's where, as a kid, we got the good fireworks.
Oh yeah, that's where they get the real good stuff. I ran a fireworks stand with my daughter at Riverbend. Whew, that's a whole nother story sometime. There were dudes coming in there going, I got some real good stuff in my garage. I'm like, dude, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah. Right. I like the dudes who go to the fireworks stand burning a dart, too. Like, you know, this is kind of flammable, sir. You're going to need to put that cigarette out.
Or a welding torch. I'm like, nah, dude, you got it. You got to put away the stick. You know, no stogies in here. So not in the fireworks stand. That's a whole nother segment. But going back to Dusty's point, we thought that Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown being vertical would open things up for Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
You know who it's really opened it up for?
Your boy Rashee Rice.
It's Rashee Rice.
Yeah, how fast did he look? My God, his speed went to a new level from year one to year two.
Room to roam. Part of that speed is he's got a chance to have room to explode. He's not, you know, he's not sitting in a broom closet somewhere. He's running around like the Step Brothers scene where they've got the bunk beds and they're jumping around the room. Like, I got room to do some stuff here. I thought it would help Kelce the most. I was wrong. It's helping Rashee Rice the most. I got a feeling he's going to eat and eat big. Not just this week, but he could have an incredible season, sans any suspension or injury, because of what the vertical game is doing to open up that 20 to 22 yards right in the middle of the field where he can eat.
Well, Mitch, you have a great call. I hope it's a successful Sunday again at 325. We'll enjoy listening to you on 96.5 The Fan and everywhere else so we can get your voice. And I hope it's a sweet Sunday and there's a lot of nectar being drank in that end zone in Kansas City.
Yes, take a sip of the nectar during your pregame warm-up. But I will do this. I will raise the glass of nectar to all of the community college football teams in the Chiefs Kingdom and all of the players that they have produced to the NFL and all of the colleges that we know and love around here, because it's really an interesting story that we don't talk about enough. But being with the Butler Community College Grizzlies last night brought all that back. So tip of the cap to all you out there in community college football, coaches, players, administrators.
There you go, Mitch. Talk to you next week, my friend.
See you, boys.
That again was Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein's Eye Center, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis joining the show there.